You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome into Brewcast from Mazin Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. We've got a fun show in store for you here, coming off the bye and heading into Wisconsin. I am Luke Giardi, joined as always by Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani. We're here with you, recording on Monday night into Tuesday, which you could be listening. You're at least listening past Tuesday here. But we, like I said, we've got a fun one for you in store here today. And now we'll bring in my fellow co-host, Anthony Broom, Chris Castellani. Guys, how we feeling? You a little rejuvenated after the off weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I don't want to say it makes Michigan struggles any easier to take, but seeing what a lot of Big Ten teams went through, sans Ohio State over the weekend, sort of, not like I said, not that it vindicates them for some of their problems, but I kind of feel, I think a lot of the discussions that we've had the last few weeks about an underwhelming performance or underwhelming performances, I think a lot of fan bases are having those conversations today. And if you're a team like Michigan State, maybe an even more serious conversation about what the future of your program is. So definitely some much needed perspective from the last few days.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this was a weekend that said a lot about the Big Ten and even said a lot about where Michigan might be. I think we learned in certain cases that there are teams that are very much here to stay and are still world beaters, unfortunately, Ohio State. And there's a lot of question marks in this conference, some involving teams that Michigan plays, some not so much. But I think what we're all learning at this point is that, and this may sound a bit odd, but I think we're at a point now in college football, there's no such thing as preseason anymore. There's no such thing as you schedule three games that are automatic W's. You know, that time has changed. And obviously you can point to a lot of scenarios where this has happened in the past. But it seems like now more than ever, schedules for the preseason are getting harder because teams want to at least try to help their standing if they are to get to a point where they're in discussion for a potential playoff bid. And I think it's made things a lot more competitive, but in a way, I think it's also hurt the Big Ten to a certain extent. We saw that this weekend, some teams who narrowly survived, but rather unimpressively, like Penn State, and some teams who just flat out faltered, like MSU and Maryland.
Yeah, we learned a lot about the Big Ten, and to be quite honest with you, top to bottom, it doesn't feel like as strong of a conference as it did coming in to this weekend. I guess let's just start at the top. The team that right now is not a pretender, they are a contender, they are the contender in the Big Ten, it's Ohio State. And right now, if nothing changes, no one is going to knock them off. They are rolling on all cylinders. I mean, this reminds me of like the early Urban Meyer year Ohio State teams. You know, those like first 2 years where they were just unbeatable. That's what this is looking like. Indiana over the last couple of years has given Ohio State and Michigan and other teams in the Big Ten fits. They haven't won a lot of games, but they've kept it close. Ohio State boat raced them on the road on Saturday. I mean, this team is just, they look legit unbeatable right now, and I don't think, unless something drastically changes, they're going to win the Big Ten.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where I think where we stand right now, and I think that Michigan certainly has a ton of improvement that they can make and things that they can do on their own end, but I'm not sure that Michigan's best football will even beat Ohio State. That's how good they look right now. I mean, it's short of Clemson and Alabama. I mean, I think you can make the argument that they're maybe the next most impressive team. Obviously, what Jalen Hurts is doing at Oklahoma is insane. But again, Lincoln Riley has that Midas touch when it comes to the quarterback position. But Ohio State, I mean, like, how are they going to do with a new head coach? How are they going to do with a new quarterback who's never been a full-time starter before? It's looking pretty damn good right now. And it's one of those things where, you know, I don't think that changes the expectation of you need to find a way to win that last game in November. But right now it's like, it's not going to be like, even with as dominant a throttling as that game in Columbus was last year, I will go to my grave saying I believe that had Michigan played its best football that day, they were the better football team. Right now, Ohio State is the best football team in the Big Ten, and it's really not all that close. I think you can make the argument for Wisconsin, but again, they haven't played anyone. They played Central Michigan, bullied them, and they played South Florida, who's Charlie Strong just is not a good coach at all. So I think the jury's out on most of the rest of the Big Ten. But based on what we've seen, I mean, Ohio State is just – they're just at another level right now. It's actually – take out the fact that it is Ohio State and it is a rival – definitely probably the most fun football team to watch in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah. You know, I mean, every year for the last, good Lord, 15 years, you look at Ohio State and you wonder, is this going to be the year where they stop being world beaters? Where they just have just a good team, maybe not an amazing team. And every year, the answer to that is nope. They're still the cream of the crop, not just in the Big Ten. They're among the cream of the crop in the country. I think really when we look back on it, probably the most vulnerable Ohio State team of the last, I mean, not including the Luke Fickell season. That was a mirage. So I guess since then, the most vulnerable team they had was probably the team 2 years ago, which still won the Big Ten. And beat an undefeated Wisconsin team in the Big Ten championship. But, you know, if Michigan has a competent quarterback in that game, and makes a stop when Dwayne Haskins came in on like a 3rd-and-14, they probably would have won that game. But since then, they've just looked remarkable. And talk about a team that knows how to utilize their skill position players. It seems like every time Dobbins or Fields or one of their talented wide receivers touches the ball, it's guaranteed 10, 15 yards, maybe more. And I think they not, and I agree with you that at this point, I don't know if Michigan's best would even beat Ohio State, because I think Ohio State matches up really well with Michigan and Michigan matches up poorly with Ohio State. I think Ohio State's speed is going to be good enough to outlast any team, especially a team like Michigan, which is an offense that doesn't play well from behind and is a defensive first football team. So it's, that was the most disheartening thing of the weekend, is knowing that we can see, unless something happens, I mean, Michigan's been remarkably unimpressive, but unless something happens, we know what game is most likely going to decide who comes out of that division in the Big Ten. And we kind of have read this book and seen this movie before.
Yeah, I'd make the argument, Chris, that last year's team was probably the most vulnerable team, because you had Urban Meyer, who probably knew he was giving it up at the end of the year. A lot of close games to teams like Michigan State. Maryland should have put Michigan in the Big Ten championship game the week prior to Michigan-Ohio State. They missed a wide-open receiver on the two-point conversion that would have beat Ohio State. And that's what makes that game last year in Columbus all the more disappointing, that Michigan was rolling through ranked opponents last year after Notre Dame. Ohio State was stumbling, and then Michigan went and got spanked in Columbus. I mean, so disheartening. Then you come into this year, high hopes. People are picking Michigan because we don't know much about Justin Fields. You know, he couldn't find the field at Georgia. We didn't know much about Ryan Day. And now they just look absolutely incredible. So I don't know, man. Like, my optimism is kind of just waning by the week. And I don't know if that's like me just hardened too much from the last couple of years. I don't know if you guys are that way, but my optimism just continues to wane here.
It feels like Urban Meyer never left.
Right. Or he got an upgrade.
Well, right, exactly.
It's crazy, as that is to say.
What's happening now is just an extension of the Urban Meyer era, which is, I mean, from a Michigan fan perspective, about worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think the thing of it, too, is that I lost my train of thought here. I'm dealing with, like, a head cold thing, so, like, bear with me here. There's not a lot of juice in the tank.
Ohio State whooping teams has just made your brain go foggy.
Okay, well, I think I pulled it back now. So it's one of those things where I think it is also fair to ask, like, if I'm playing devil's advocate here, is Ohio State maybe peaking early? How much better can they get than this? And that's where I like it.
It's a good spin.
It's a spin zone. I'm a journalist. I know how to do that. I think seeing how well they've played to a certain extent, like, I think we've seen a Michigan team, and make no mistake about it, the pressure is on, and we've seen guys press, and they have to find a way to figure that out. But to me, when you look at how well Ohio State has played, it's like, you know what? You just need to keep stacking one good day. Like, as cliche as it sounds, like, have a good practice on Monday, have a good practice on Tuesday, you know, just keep stacking those good days, stacking up some wins, and see where you stand at the end of the year. You have that game at home. I still think there's a pretty good chance that game is for the Big Ten East title. I still think even at this point, that's not that hot of a take. So it's just, you can't worry about how you beat Ohio State right now, because I think that's to a certain extent, that's why this fan base is freaking out. And that's why I think we've seen a little bit, these players start to press, in these early games and maybe, make some of these mental mistakes. Is that they know they need to beat Ohio State this year, but they're trying to, like, it's okay, Chris, you'll be on board with this. It's like, okay, think of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how long it took to build up to something special there. But then you had DC, who just, like, they tried to do it all at once, and it was jumbled, it was rushed, there were mistakes everywhere. That's what I see right now, is a team that's trying too hard to make up too much ground too fast. Just keep knocking away at it, checking boxes off one at a time. The talent is there. So it's right now, it does not look good. If that game was played next week, it's very likely it would be a blowout, but it's not played next week. It's like, God, almost literally like 2.5 months away. So just need to, 1 week at a time, one practice at a time, as cliche as it sounds. And I know some people think I'm the resident water carrier for Jim Harbaugh in terms of how I cover this team. It's just, the fans can't worry about that game right now. And the players can't either. Like, go beat Wisconsin, go beat Rutgers, go beat Iowa. So I think a lot of what we're seeing is just kind of a perfect storm of player expectations and fan frustrations after how last year ended. And it's like, maybe we all just need to chill out a little bit.
Yeah, that's a fair point. We haven't really been chill, have we? Usually we come into a new season, it's just like brand new optimism. But last year's game was just, I don't know, different. I think, you know, if we go back and listen to the pod before the Ohio State game, we'd probably know that, because, Anthony, you said it had a chance to change the trajectory of the program. And ultimately, it may have, just in the wrong direction. But taking a look at the other two teams that are going to be contending for the Big Ten East, along with Michigan and Ohio State, and we can talk all we want about how unimpressive Michigan looked in their two wins. Penn State, outside of the first win against Idaho and FCS school, they did not look impressive against Buffalo, certainly did not look impressive against Pittsburgh. Then you got Michigan State losing at home to Arizona State, true freshman quarterback. I mean, you want to talk about unimpressive. Those two teams were incredibly unimpressive this week.
Yeah, let me say this about Michigan State, and I want to get this, like, I want to make one thing very clear. Regardless of what happens to them the rest of the year, they are going to be ready to play a game on November 16th and beat you in Ann Arbor. Again, they will be ready for that. With that being said, that program, like, they're done. Like, Mark D'Antonio, that fun, happy little era, it's over. Like, that's a 7 or 8 win football team. And for 5 years, their offense has refused to adapt. He's kept all of his friends. He shuffled around the roles. What is going on in East Lansing right now is college football coaching malpractice. I said this to a few people after the game on Saturday. I'm embarrassed. Like, I know I'm on the Michigan side of things. I'm embarrassed for that fan base, because you know what? We want that rivalry to be the Iron Bowl of the North, but one program is not holding up its end of the bargain right now. Michigan State is atrocious. And so they won 9 games a few years ago. Big deal. They went 3-9 before that. They won 7 games last year. They're probably going to win 7 games again this year. They're going to waste another great defense. That is disturbing where things are heading there. And I don't know, like, I know we love to, you know, they love to, it's funny how Spartan fans will always be like, oh, well, you know, look at everything that Coach D has done for us. And Michigan fans always staying in the past. Like, we're almost like a decade removed from that Rose Bowl team now. So it's like, how much longer can they let that go on there? Because what's going on there is absolutely pathetic, period.
Yeah, I'm not as critical of it as you are, because I can never count them out, and I know they're going to play a competitive game every year against Michigan. And I know that there's people who believe that D'Antonio is on his last legs as a coach, and that may be true. I adamantly disagree with any of the D'Antonio needs to be gone now takes, because, I don't know, he's the best coach they've ever had. And I think – And I know it was a long time ago, but I think people forget where that program was when they hired them. They were a joke. There was a time where when you saw Michigan State on your schedule, you'd laugh and put in a W. And if they got a lead on you, you would just say, they'll find a way to blow this. A lot has changed. Now, the golden age of Michigan State football, say 2010 to 2015, is over. And has been for a while. I would say it probably ended with a 3-9 season. It's officially over now. I could talk about the past and, you know, what happened with you know, where the program went downhill. But just talking about the 2019 versions of some of these teams, I've been very much on the Penn State is going to take a big step back bandwagon pretty much since last year ended. They won 9 games last year. I don't really think that they were particularly great. I think pretty much every good team they played on their schedule, they lost. Michigan murdered them. And this year I thought they'd take a step back, and Pitt made some really questionable decisions late in that game. And it ultimately cost them. I still don't think it's a bad Penn State team. And I still think going on the road is going to be really difficult there, which is something Michigan's going to have to do. But those two programs, Michigan State and Penn State, are two programs that I see kind of going in similar directions. Still very competitive, still for the most part prepared to play every time you go up against them, but not nearly the force that we believe they could be, you know, even coming into the season. I was impressed by Penn State the first 2 weeks. Did not look particularly good last week despite coming out with a win. And Michigan State, I mean, you can pretty much call what happened on Saturday a disaster. I mean, Arizona State's not – they're not any good. I mean, they weren't any good last year. They aren't any good this year. They somehow miraculously pulled that game off, you know, got a few lucky calls, but MSU put themselves in position to get screwed over by some bad calls. You know, they played really, really poorly. So I think from a Michigan perspective, it bodes well, just in the sense that some of the really difficult teams on your schedule that people were looking at before the season started might not be as difficult as we previously thought. Now, things are very subject to change. We know that. But after the near disaster that was the Army game, I think there's a little bit more optimism in the air seeing what other teams in the Big Ten have done, with the exception of Ohio State.
Yeah. And go ahead, Luke.
I was gonna start taking a look elsewhere. So I'll let you finish that thought, Anthony.
I guess my final thought is, I feel like Jerry Springer now for my final thought. Penn State, Michigan State. I mean, regardless of how harsh you think my criticism is on State right now, those are two programs that have very big question marks on the sidelines, and Michigan may very well have that too. But I sort of feel like I'll take Michigan's coaching staff concerns over any of the concerns that that State has, that Penn State has. Those are, after this weekend, I'm kind of, regardless of what happens to Michigan this weekend or what have you, I would be pretty disappointed if Michigan didn't win both of those games.
Yeah.
Penn State and Michigan State?
Yes. Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I would agree with that.
100%. But at the end of the day, we know that that's a possibility, unless Michigan really does actually get better. We're going to find out how much better Michigan got from the first 2 weeks into the bye week, as they have a daunting, daunting task in Madison coming up here this week. We're going to talk about, when we come back on Brewcast, what the result of this game will mean for the rest of the season, whether it's a win or whether it's a loss. That's coming up next on Brewcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome in here on Brewcast. Luke Yardy, Anthony Broom, Chris Castellani here with you. And we are in Wisconsin week. No real time, no warm-up Big Ten games for the Wolverines, or for the Badgers for that matter, as Michigan travels to Madison to take on the Badgers. Michigan opening as a three-point underdog. So bookmakers think that this matchup is about even. They're going to give the 3 points to the home team here, but this is a huge game for both of these teams moving forward, but more particularly for Michigan, because as we alluded to, we didn't really get a chance to talk about it too much. The West looking a little shaky, with Minnesota almost losing to Georgia Southern, Illinois losing to Eastern Michigan, Purdue getting routed, and then Nebraska, they look shaky with the loss to Colorado and that week one victory as well. So for Wisconsin, not as big of a game, but definitely a huge game for Michigan to show how much they've improved from that Army game with the bye week heading into Madison. And guys, win or a loss here, this could be a bit of a season defining game here.
Yeah, I think this game, I think we talked about it here before on one of the other pods I did. I think that this team might actually have a chance to benefit from going on the road, getting out of Ann Arbor, having the team have booze directed at them, coming as maybe fuel from a road crowd, as opposed to smatterings of booze from fans at the stadium kind of being downers. This is a big test for them. And it's one that, it's one thing if they go in there and it's like the Penn State game from 2017 where they get blown out 42-13, that's a major problem. I don't think Wisconsin necessarily has, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's great and he's going to get his, and it sounds like, not that I'm in the film room or anything, but it sounds like the plan might just be to let him get his and take everything else away, which has happened with them before. The first two times he's played Michigan, he's run for over 100 yards each time. I can see this being a lot like the 2017 game in that, you know, people forget that with about 5 minutes left in the third quarter of that game, Michigan had a 10-7 or a 10-7 lead. And once Brandon Peters went down, it just kind of got away from them. They would ultimately lose 24 to 10. I think it will be a similar type of slugfest, but Shea Patterson, obviously your quarterback play is going to define the game like it defined the game in 2017. I think when you look at Wisconsin, Don Brown said this to us last week, it's such a relief to get back into game planning for someone that actually reflects what you're going to see throughout Big Ten play with the, you know, a power run game, a little more balanced offensive attack. Middle Tennessee had that air, sort of like that air raid type deal. Obviously, Army brought in the triple option. So I think that the defense will be ready to go as they have been in the first 2 weeks of the year. Now, what the question becomes, and it's what we've been talking about for 3 weeks now, is the offense going to make self-inflicted mistakes that put pressure on the defense? Because that's where I could see the game kind of the floodgates sort of opening towards the end or whatever. Michigan's offense needs to get off to a fast start in this football game. And I mean, first drive, you get the football, you drive right down the field, score. Like they need a touchdown early. They just need to go on. I mean, don't even necessarily need to score a touchdown. Like go on a sustained drive. Don't make any mistakes and put points on the board. And I think, you know, you look at the film from the last 2 weeks, the big plays are there. The chances to make something happen are there. You're just not hitting on them. And I think that is cause for a little bit of optimism that, hey, you know, maybe we didn't execute it here, but it was there. So let's try it again. Whereas, you know, it's not, I know people have concerns about the offense and where this thing is kind of headed and who's really in charge. Is it Josh Gattis? Is it Jim Harbaugh? Running the ball, whatever it was, 14 straight times in that game against Army late, I think it was in the second half, is just dumb. That can't happen again. But I haven't been that discouraged by the it's more just the mistakes more than anything else. Those will kill you on the road.
Let me ask you this. If Michigan goes in and wins this game, is there going to be just a flip of a reaction from what we saw post Army game? Like, are people just going to completely do a full 180 and say, okay, this Michigan team is legit. They've got a chance to win the Big Ten. They're going to, you know, go in and win that Ohio State game in Ann Arbor in November. Like, is that what the reaction is going to be from this fan base and from maybe even us? Like, is that how big of a swing game this is? Or is it going to be, okay, nice win, but they still have to keep improving? Or does that depend on how they play in this game? Does it matter whether they get the win? I want to know your guys' thoughts on that.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'll answer that. I mean, you know how the fan bases work, especially Michigan. You know, if they win this game handily, it'll be all of a sudden Michigan's, you know, a national championship contender. But, you know, the more level-headed people, which I don't know, I guess level me and level-headed probably doesn't fit, but I'll use it anyway, we'll realize that, yeah, it will be a major step in the right direction. One of the first big hurdles of the season, Michigan will have gotten over. And it will be a major positive. I guess a lot of it kind of depends on how they win. If they win another ugly, sloppy game, I think it will be a positive that they won. But we were talking about it earlier. Everyone knows what the end goal is. And I think for the rest of the season, whether fair or not, I think it is fair. This team will be compared to Ohio State and whether or not they can beat them. If they go out and smash Wisconsin like they did last year and people and, you know, national pundits start saying that this is a team that can compete with OSU, then I think all of a sudden there will be a seismic shift of people, you know, back on the bandwagon. But unless that happens, I think there's always going to be kind of a dark cloud over this team.
I think the other thing too is that if Michigan does go into Madison and win, the narrative will then flip to, oh, well, it wasn't that big of a win because Wisconsin didn't play anybody. They played South Florida and they played Central Michigan.
Right.
But let me say this. So this is only, I'll throw some numbers your way, some fun with stats, if you will. This is only the seventh time since Jim Harbaugh's been at Michigan. So we're talking like, what, 45, 46, 47 games, whatever it is at this point, that they've been an underdog. They have lost all six of those previous games. Now, I think probably three or four of those were against Ohio State, or two or three, something like that. But it's not just a Jim Harbaugh problem. For the last decade and a half, this team just doesn't win big games on the road. So in a lot of ways, yeah, there's a lot of narratives on the line here. And I actually think, you know, people won't want to hear this, because as we've seen from the last 2 weeks, even if Michigan wins, people will find something to get outraged about. Like the offense, there's a good chance the offense probably struggles for a lot of this game on Saturday, and they might still win because of that. And people will still be mad because the offense didn't look perfect. And that's just like, that's not how football works. That's not how, right. That's not how Big Ten football works. So it's one of those things where I think there is a reality where even if they lose, but they just, you know, they play very well, they compete, but they just lose a tough game on the road. I think that there's more to take from that than, you know, going in there and getting blown out. Like, certainly, but because I can see.
Well, I mean,
go ahead.
Look back at, you know, last year, Notre Dame. Like, that's the exact thing that happened. But people, you know, we did a pod that telling everyone to back away from the ledge. Like, it's literally going to be pitchforks and torches if they lose this game, no matter how they lose this game, I feel like.
I'm not going to say this is a must win, but I mean, in college football, if you have aspirations.
Every game's a must win, pretty much.
If you have
much,
aspirations
yeah.
to be a playoff team, or, you know, win a Big Ten title, you get into conference play, you got to get as many conference wins as you have, as you can. When I look at Wisconsin, like, I'm just interested. Like, I think I'm more interested in seeing how Wisconsin comes out as opposed to how Michigan does, because, like I said, they have not had a whole lot of resistance there. And I think that when you look at what they do offensively, that kind of plays right into what Dom Brown has exceeded in stopping. Like, yeah, Jonathan Taylor will probably get, you know, 100 to 130, 140 total yards on the day. But what does Michigan do with the other guys? And that's where I think, you know, the pass rush and the corners are going to be absolutely critical in this game. If they could take everything else away and just, you know, if you can get away with having one turnover on offense, but the three, the four, the fumbles, like, just you got to give yourselves a chance, because I think that defense will have you in contention to win this football game all day. And if your offense is inept through two and a half, three quarters, yeah, your defense might be a little leaky towards the end of the game if you don't take care of your business. So, again, there's a lot of pressure on the line. Yeah. You hope that they're not pressing, because, like I said, through these first two games, I've seen a lot of that, and players have admitted that. You know, just get out of your head. You can't beat Ohio State on Saturday. You can't beat Michigan State on Saturday. You can't beat Notre Dame on Saturday. You can only beat Wisconsin on Saturday. So if you just stay focused on that throughout the week, I think they'll be in pretty decent shape.
And I also want to point, Chris, before you get your thoughts on this, I want to point out that this game was a consensus victory for Michigan 3 weeks ago. Like, everyone looking at the season, every quote-unquote expert looking at this game, Michigan, the sports books favored Michigan heavily in this game. Like, this was a pencil-in victory for Michigan 3 weeks ago. Like, have we seen that much in these first couple of weeks of the college football season to really completely turn that on its head?
Yes and no. I lean towards yes, because to me, I'm not somebody who likes to do preseason predictions in general, just because I think they're fluky. And unless it's something obvious like Clemson or Alabama or even Ohio State at this point, I base what I feel or how I think something is going to go down based on what I've seen so far. And yeah, and Wisconsin hasn't played anybody, but they've been remarkably impressive in their ability to steamroll teams. Michigan has not been very impressive. So I'm not shocked or, you know, surprised by the amount of people picking Wisconsin. I think even Michigan has a stigma about them, and a lot of people do not believe in this team. This goes back to last year and even pretty much the entire Harbaugh era. And I think that this is something that's going to carry over, and we know what's going to have to happen in order for that to change. I will say, I thought last year's Wisconsin game. Now, Wisconsin was, they underachieved last season. They weren't nearly as good as they had been in the couple previous years under Paul Christ. But I thought last year's Wisconsin game was one of the better coached games of the Harbaugh era. And I just had to look it up because, Anthony, when you said that Jonathan Taylor had over 100 yards last season, I forgot. And if they can find a way, because he's one of those guys, you know, the old adage of you can't stop him, but you can contain him. If he can have 120 quiet yards,
yeah,
that would be a major victory for Michigan. Now, I think, yeah, absolutely. Now, last year, Michigan got out to an early lead, which is going to be even more important this time when you're playing on the road in a tough environment, and forced Wisconsin to pass. And Alex Hornibrook, you know, I'm sure he's a nice kid. Alex Hornibrook was not a very good college quarterback. I'm sorry. He's not a guy who's going to be able to you know, thread the needle against elite defenses. Now, this new guy they got here looked impressive so far, but he's raw and he's pretty unproven. So we're going to have to see if he's going to be able to step up. I think getting off to an early lead, holding on to the football, not making careless mistakes is going to be huge for Michigan in this game. If they win the turnover battle, I really like their chances.
Yeah,
kind of
feels like it's simple as that, really.
Well, let me ask you, how do you feel about the game if there is no turnover battle to be won? What if the turnovers, there's none? No turnovers. How do you feel about the game?
Are we talking if Michigan doesn't turn over the ball or either team?
Neither team. If neither team, no turnovers
straight
in this
up,
game.
I think if there are no turnovers from either team, I mean, just from Michigan's point of view, I'd say that means they're executing fairly well. Now, I guess there's a scenario where they could just be going three and out a bunch of times, but I mean, I'll say it right now. Like, if Michigan doesn't turn over the football, yeah, I like their talent better on both sides of the
probably
ball.
Probably win this game,
I like their talent on both sides of the ball, and for as many hot takes as there are about Jim Harbaugh, I think he's a better coach than Paul Christ. So,
yep.
Hopefully that doesn't make its way into the Badger locker room, but yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Like, at the end of the day, like, here's my take on the game. I'm not going to break it down into, you know, like, what Michigan needs to do or anything like that. At the end of the day, like, Michigan is probably the better football team. I think they have the better quarterback. I know this might be blasphemous from what we've seen and what we know about Wisconsin, but I feel like when it's gelling, Michigan has a better offensive line. I think Wisconsin has a better running back, but I think Michigan has better receivers, tight ends, and a better defense, to be quite honest with you. I like the way that defensive front played against Army. So I think they have a chance to win in the trenches. And yeah, Jonathan Taylor might bust a couple, but I think they're going to contain him to a point. And I still like Michigan's secondary. Like, I think they're the better team at the end of the day. So
it's fascinating because we're going into this week, and a lot of people feel like this is kind of a death march. But if you really look at it position by position, I mean, we'll look at it a little more closely. I mean, you can say Wisconsin definitely might have the best running back in college football. Outside of that, right, I think you can make the argument that Michigan is better at every single other position group, and that includes their coaching as well. So it's fascinating. Like, again, self-inflicted wounds. And I think this is my final thought on it, since we're not going into like what we want to see and things like that.
Right.
I could live with a loss if, and this is a big if, it's well played, well executed, and you played aggressive, you played to win. Mm-hmm. A loss where you left points on the field because of a play call or because of self-inflicted wounds or just playing conservative, that is unacceptable to me. And if that happens, the pitchforks should be out, because this is a program right now that plays like it's afraid to lose. Go out there and take a win. Go out there and steal a win. It doesn't belong to you. No one expects you to win this week now. Go steal one.
That's a really good point, man. And if the lingering issues dating back to the end of last season persist in this game and they lose because of that, it will be awful. But I don't think I'll be as disheartened by a loss this week, because if it happens, because Michigan will still, it might seem insurmountable, But I've said it since the beginning of the season. Michigan can afford to slip up one time and still have all their goals in front of them. Now, it will take a heck of a job by Harbaugh and crew to basically win 9 straight games. But if you lose this game, and let's say they just go on a death march and they dominate everyone they play and find a way to beat Ohio State, they'll play Wisconsin again, most likely. And they'll get a chance to avenge this loss. And if they do that, they'll make the playoff. Now, that seems like a long ways away, but this is not, I don't think that this is necessarily a game that could, a loss that will end the season.
My
I think
fear
those are going to come later
fear,
on this year. That's nothing.
I think my
against
fear
Wisconsin
would be that things get so toxic and so volatile with like the fan base that might be something that permeates into, and look, after this, your next 3 games are, you get Rutgers and Iowa at home, and then you go on the road and play Illinois. So they should, like, they will have a chance to get rolling if this doesn't go as planned on Saturday. Right. And I guess one final question, I just thought of it while I was bringing that up. If Shea Patterson doesn't play well this week, and you have those 3 games to kind of get yourself back on track before you go to Penn State, might it be time to consider, I'm not saying to pull the trigger, might it be time to get Dylan McCaffrey a little more ready?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they've been doing it, you know, like for that reason. But Shea is, you know, I don't know if he's banged up or whatnot, if he's healed now coming off the bye week. But if he takes care of the ball, this Michigan offense is going to be fine, I feel like. But if he doesn't take care of the ball, he can't play. Like that, it's literally that simple.
The only thing in his game, like the reads, I think as the game kind of slows down, I think the reads will get better because Dylan McCaffrey's reads haven't been all that great either. If you go back and watch the film. So it's really like, honestly, that's all it is. Take care of the football. Cause I think otherwise he's played fine. And hopefully I mean, we're not even talking about this, but you get Donovan Peoples-Jones back. That's another wide receiver that can take the top off of a defense.
Yeah.
You know, Things aren't as terrible as I think they're being made out to be. Now things need to get better, but you know, I'm not dreading Saturday at all. I'm really looking forward. Like I'm looking more forward to this game than I maybe would have a few weeks ago because I want to see those questions answered.
Well, we also have, first of all, I love the noon kickoff. And, well, Anthony, tell us what you got going on for the Wisconsin game, by the way.
Of course. Can you tell who the radio guy on this show is? The guy with the segues? And, you know, this is why we have him leading the charge. But Saturday, we will be at Jim Brady's in downtown Ann Arbor. It is, like I said, right in the heart of downtown. If you're looking for something to do, someplace to watch the game with other Michigan fans, well, we will be at Jim Brady's. Doors open at 10 a.m. We'll start with a little live pregame podcast type deal. We'll have Mason Brew t-shirts out there. They're going to have brunch specials throughout the game. Half off Bloody Marys. It's not my cup of tea, but if you're into it, we'll have it there. So come on out. Details are at the website. It'll be a lot of fun. If you saw the review we did on that place a few weeks ago, it really does look cool. And it's on a 222-inch projection screen television. So we'll have the game there. We'll have some gear out there. And, come out and hang out. I'd love to have a drink with you fine people.
I love it, man. That's going to be a blast. I wish I could make it. I'm just a little too far away. But, Chris, as we wrap this up, man, tell us where we can find you on social media. I'm sure you'll be tweeting on Saturday during the game.
I will, and I'm contemplating going to Jim Brady's. I'm not going to set anything in stone. I'd like to get out there. I'll see what my schedule looks like at the end of Friday night to see if I can make it on Saturday morning. But you can find me on, I'll be tweeting anyway, and you can find me on Twitter. That's at Castellani2014. That's at CastellaNi2014. Post-game videos after every Tigers game, just 2 more weeks now, after every Lions game, every Michigan football game. Always talking sports, always talking pop culture. Lot going on in the world of sports right now. So it's a endless loop, and it's a lot of fun. You can find there my Snapchat handle is also the same as my Twitter handle. If you want to see me on Instagram as well, that's ChrisCastle95. That's ChrisCastle95. Please follow me on all those platforms.
Anthony, how about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony T. Broom. Follow the website at Mason Brew on Twitter. Find us, give us a like on Facebook. We're on Instagram, trying to grow that page. Subscribe to our YouTube page as well. It's under Mason Brew SB Nation. We'll have a lot of videos from events, press availabilities, players talking, things like that. So give us a check there. And you can find our podcast wherever you get your shows. So Megaphone, Spotify, Apple, Google. Just search Mason Brew and we'll be there. And we didn't even mention this. Luke, this is our 200th episode as a Mason Brew podcast.
Oh, yes. We are popping bottles here on Brewcast today. 200th episode for Mason Brew podcast, man. Round of applause.
Yeah, round of applause for us. Yeah, for the whole staff. It's been a group effort.
For the whole staff, absolutely.
We're doing...
Well, also, thank you to everyone that's been listening to these shows as well. We really appreciate the feedback. We appreciate you downloading and listening and really engaging in these podcasts as well. We really couldn't do it without you, the listener.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And like I said, leave us a review. Give us feedback. Like good feedback is always, you think we suck, like we want to make this as much yours as it is ours. So, never hesitate to reach out to any of us. But if you leave the review, please make it 5 stars because we love you. We could talk.
We'll get better. Even if you don't think it's 5 stars, like tell us why, tell us what we did wrong, but still leave the 5-star review.
Here's what you do. You leave a 5-star review, and then in the actual review part where you type it in and say, it's more of a 3-star review, but like I love these guys. So.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. My new Twitter. Go give it a follow. Also follow the Brewcast Show Twitter page at Brewcast Show. And we'll be engaging all football season long. As Anthony mentioned, please subscribe and leave a review for all of our shows and content. Where you get your podcast, just search Mason Brew Podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. So that'll do it for us, our 200th episode on Mason Brew Podcast, and that'll do it for Brewcast here today. But Mason Brew Podcast will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of Future Brew. We'll see you next week.